My guest at this time is Gary Bauer. He served as Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to President Ronald Reagan. He is currently President of American Values and Chairman of Campaign for Working Families PAC. He was also a Republican candidate for president in the year 2000. He was also quoted an important story in the Washington Post over the weekend about what he calls the growing chasm between the mainstream Republican Party and social conservatives. And he's here now to elaborate a little bit on the problems between the two. And Mr. Bauer, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
In this story in the Washington Post, you said the disconnect between social conservatives and the GOP has become a chasm. How has that chasm developed, and what's responsible for it?
Well, I think there is a chasm. I told the Washington Post, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to elaborate today. I told the Washington Post that the chasm is not only between the Republican Party establishment and social conservatives, but the party establishment and conservatives generally. And I say that because I travel all over the country, and I'm talking almost daily with economic conservatives, conservatives that believe in a strong national defense, those that are pro-life and pro-family. And there's a general feeling that the party just isn't fighting hard enough against liberalism here in Washington, and seems too uncertain with the message and with the themes that the party says it cares about.
Which issues raise the most concern in your mind about this disconnect?
Well, I think it goes across the board. I mean, certainly the Republican Party gets millions of voters who are committed to the sanctity of life, believe that all men are made in the image of God and have dignity, value, and worth. Most Republican voters believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Republican voters tend to be for smaller government and less regulation. They want a strong national defense. And on all these issues, all too often, party seniors, party's officials that have been around for a while, tend to muddle the differences between them and the Democratic Party, or, in specifically the case of values issues, there are strong and influential voices in the Republican Party promoting the idea that Republicans haven't done well in elections because of issues like the sanctity of life, religious liberty, and traditional marriage. I believe the polling evidence is the exact opposite of that. That, in fact, it's some of the items on the Republican economic agenda, or at least the perception of those ideas on the economic agenda, that often make it too easy for liberals to defeat conservative candidates.
Based on your experience and your understanding, what's the price of ignoring social issues and social conservative voters as you see it, both in the near term and the long term?
Well, this is a really important look. This is a narrowly divided country, as we see every day. It's almost a 50-50 country. People that are on the left or lean left are close to half the country. Likewise, those on the right and lean right are about half the country. Whichever side can turn out its core supporters is likely to win not only the elections this November for control of the Senate and the House of Representatives, but they're likely to go on and win the presidency in 2016. So if the Republican Party cannot get its most loyal, committed voters, the voters that take most seriously the planks in the Republican platform, they're going to underperform this November and underperform in 2016. I'm going to do everything I can to get conservatives to win. I think the country needs to go back to the right after the last 6 years of far-left governance that we've had. But to do that, the party needs to nominate in key races, including the presidential race in 2016, solid conservatives. They're not ashamed or embarrassed about their views. People that are willing to make the entire case for economic conservatism, values conservatism, and a strong national defense. If they don't do that, then I think, once again, they'll be frustrated by the results on Election Day.
Sir, you're also quoted in the Post as saying, values voters have been treated as the stepchildren of the family. While the party has wanted to get on with so-called more electorally popular ideas, the Republican base will not tolerate another candidate foisted upon us as a guy who can win. And that was obviously the argument for Mitt Romney. It was the argument to some extent for John McCain, neither of which obviously won. And so why do you believe the line in the sand is getting drawn now rather than back during one of those campaigns?
Well, it's interesting because in the process of nominating a Republican presidential candidate, several times now, the person that's gotten the nomination has used as a main argument for their candidacy that only they can win. John McCain used that argument. Mitt Romney used that argument. And I, by the way, tried to help both of them get elected. But it ended up they could not win. And so the main thing that they argued about why they should be nominated rather than alternative candidates that had clearer conservative records was that, well, those clear conservatives can't win on election day, but we can. Well, that's not happened. And I think it's time to tell the party elites that are making this argument that they have no track record. They have no record of success. In fact, the most popular presidential candidate the Republicans have nominated in modern history was Ronald Reagan, who was roundly condemned by the party establishment as being too right-wing and too conservative, but he won landslide elections.
We're talking with Gary Bauer, Chief Domestic Policy Advisor to President Reagan. He's now President of American Values and Chairman of the Campaign for Working Families PAC. If there is not an acceptable Republican nominee for social conservatives in 2016, where do those millions of voters go?
You know, this is, I think, a big misconception. A lot of people think, well, my goodness, let's say the nominee of the Democratic Party is Hillary Clinton, and there's a Republican nominee that doesn't make people very enthusiastic. But certainly all those voters would not want to see former Senator Clinton be the president of the United States. That may be the way people think in Washington, but it's not the way average Americans think around the country. People to vote on election day need to be excited. They need to be motivated. They need to feel that one candidate will mean things, will do things from their standpoint that will be most consistent with how they think the country ought to go. And I think we saw in the last presidential election, there was a consensus in the polls that have been done. Several million self-identified conservatives just didn't go vote. So I think that if the nominee is not somebody that makes the base of the party, makes their heart beat faster, they just won't show up. And that will result again in another election that swings the country further to the left.
Let's talk about a couple of arguments I'm sure you're familiar with from the more mainstream, I guess, or establishment wings of the party. Their argument would be, jumping off from the point that you just made, that perhaps those conservatives, many of them perhaps social conservatives, potentially cost Mitt Romney the election. And while their hearts didn't beat faster, they would have been infinitely more pleased with him making policy on social issues and other issues than Barack Obama. So their argument is that it might not be your dream candidate, but it's a lot better than what the Democrats are putting up, so you need to stick with us. What do you tell them?
Well, I mean, look, again, we've tried that. It doesn't work. The average American doesn't do that kind of an analysis. In fact, whether somebody, I love public policy. I've devoted my life to working on it here in Washington from a conservative standpoint. But the average American is not immersed in public policy. The average American is trying to pay their bills, make sure they don't lose their house, that they can save some money to put a kid through college and so forth. Those people pay attention to politics often just a few weeks before the election, and they are not moved by analysis about what they should and shouldn't do. They simply look at the candidates and say, okay, who's the candidate that represents what I believe? And if they don't see a candidate that represents what they believe, and particularly on the things they care the most about, they're just not moved by the argument that, well, this guy will be a little less worse than that guy. So, I mean, I think the whole approach that the insider experts use it's just not relevant to the way normal people think about the elections.
Let's briefly look at the marriage issue in the post-2012 report. The RNC didn't change their position on it, but they said that the rhetoric needed to be toned down, and it's pretty clear over the past couple of years that most of them just don't want to talk about it at all. They point to the fact that numbers have shifted to some extent nationwide, and certainly among the rising generation of millennial voters, it's shifting away from the Republican platform position as of right now. So they're looking at this obviously from kind of a technocratic approach on this issue to some extent. What do you tell them about how to make this a winning issue?
Well, I think the way you make anything a winning issue is that when you talk about it, you're bold, you're confident, you're committed. You make it clear that you believe this is the best way to go. You know, Barack Obama started pushing same-sex marriage when the polling was against his position. And yet, by doing a bold political thing that I happen to disagree with, there's evidence he moved public opinion. So I would say to my Republican friends, instead of sticking your finger up in the air, trying to figure out which way the wind's blowing and suggesting that you have to abandon an issue because the polling has changed, how about instead making the public policy argument about why marriage should be between a man and a woman and why children need mothers and fathers, need both of those individuals in order to have a good outcome. And by the way, if we're going to start making judgments, the Republican Party, based on the polling, well, then I would tell them you should drop your objection to raising taxes on billionaires. The polls are overwhelmingly in favor of raising taxes on billionaires. Change your position on Social Security. The Republican Party establishment thinks that Social Security checks in the future need to be smaller. The public overwhelmingly opposes doing that. I would argue those positions are costing Republicans more elections than defending normal marriage and the sanctity of human life.
Very quickly, I know we're out of time, Gary. Do you have much hope that the different parts of the party can come together in time for the upcoming election, whether it's this year or 2016, or do you feel like it's drifting further apart?
Well, look, as you pointed out, I worked for Reagan for 8 years, and Reagan was an optimist, and he fired pessimists, so I'm going to be an optimist. I think in spite of the differences, Republicans do have a good chance of coming together, and I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there are deep divisions in the Democratic Party. In fact, right now, we can see some of those divisions between Hillary Clinton and President Obama. We know that many of the constituencies in the Democratic Party have conflicting interests. And so if we're united and we start pointing out the differences that are in on the left, I think we've got a good chance to be successful on Election Day.
Fascinating to watch. Gary, thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
Gary Bauer, former chief domestic policy advisor to President Reagan, a presidential candidate for the Republican nomination in the year 2000, president of American Values, chairman of the Campaign for Working Families PAC. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.